Friends, we are continuing our series, Introducing Buddhism, and today we are concerned with the texture of reality. And as was announced last week, under this title, we shall be dealing with what Buddhism calls, traditionally, the three lakshanas, the three signs, or the three characteristics. Now, reality is rather a big word. It's not only rather big, but we might say it's very abstract, even a trifle vague. And one can also say that Buddhism, on the whole, in general, isn't very fond of abstract or vague terminology. If we take the example of Tibetan Buddhism, we find that far from dealing in abstractions, far from dealing in vague generalities, it prefers very concrete images. This is one of the things which impresses one at first very much about Tibetan Buddhism. Tibetan Buddhism is not only concrete, it's almost, one might say, materialistic. If one can have a contradiction in terms, it's a materialistic spirituality. It's very concrete. In the same way, or in the same spirit rather, not quite in the same way, another great school of Buddhism, that is to say Zen, also avoids, as far as possible, abstractions and vague generalities. In some ways, Zen goes even much further than Tibetan Buddhism. Rather than indulge in abstractions, Zen will either utter a piercing shriek or else give you 30 blows. Now, reality, in any case, is not really a Buddhist word. In Buddhism we've got shunyata, tathata, and so on, dharmakaya, but we haven't got really any true semantic equivalent of this word reality. There's no word in traditional Buddhist terminology of which reality represents a satisfactory equivalent. So when we use this word reality in English, in speaking about Buddhism, we use it in a very makeshift, a very provisional sort of way. It isn't to be taken too literally, and all the connotations which attach to it, in general, Western, philosophical, and religious usage, don't quite apply here in a Buddhist context. Now, the title of today's talk also speaks of the texture of reality. Now, texture is quite a different sort of word. Texture isn't abstract, it's remarkably concrete. We speak, as you know, of the texture of a piece of cloth, the cotton or silk or wool. They've all got a different texture which you can feel with your fingers quite easily. One also speaks of the texture of a piece of stone. If you put your fingers over a piece of marble, the texture is quite different from what it would be if you put your fingers over a piece of granite. This rather reminds me of an ancient Chinese custom. The Chinese, as you probably know, are very, very fond of jade. There are all sorts of different kinds of jade, red and green and blue and white and black and so on, and they have all sorts of exotic names like muffin fat jade and dragon's blood jade and things like that. And in the old days, I don't know whether it goes on under the present regime, but experts used to be able to distinguish the different kinds of jade just by feeling the texture of them underwater with their fingertips, with their eyes closed. They could know at once that this is a piece of white jade or mutton fat jade or purple jade, whatever it was, and there were hundreds of varieties. So this is a rather extreme example of what we mean by texture. It is something very concrete, whereas reality is something which seems rather abstract. But it seems appropriate to use this more concrete expression and to speak of the texture of reality because this implies that reality is something to be felt, even something to be handled, something to be experienced. And Buddhism, after all, is, as you surely know by this time, above all else, practical. It comprises ethics, religion, spiritual tradition. It isn't just a system of philosophy in the Western academic sense.